Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is from France, Eric.
Welcome, bienvenue.
Bienvenue, thank you for having me.
That's as far as my French goes now, so...
No, I'm sure it's better than that.
No, really. I lost it all. I lost it all when I was at school, but I actually did do my stagiaire in Bourges when I was 27.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay, okay. Do they speak French down there? I'm kidding.
That's a really good one. Thank you. So, you're actually from Paris, then?
Yes, I am. So
born and bred, and then...
Born and bred, and very Parisian.
Ah, I won't tell you anything. I know about Parisians. No, you're here to tell us a bit about the culture and etiquette in France.
With pleasure.
Let's start at the very beginning, the birth of a child. What actually happens? Is there specific traditions or parties or things that happen when a child is born?
Well, I don't think there is anything in particular that's very different from the other countries. The of course, you have a party to show the baby, and people tend to bring, you know, small presents and stuff. Something that is very typical of France, typically French, I believe, is what you do for baptisms, you know, for... Mm-hmm. Christenings and stuff like that. So you have what is called dragée. Dragée is a sort of candy.
Right.
It's an almond covered in sugar. Well, and it's very typical of...
These aren't for the children.
And it's not for the children, but it's definitely for the people who come and visit.
So you get given those once you sort of as a swap.
That's it, exactly. So the parents normally have them prepared, probably very often with a little tag that says the name of the baby and stuff like that. And so it's something you can easily give to the to the people.
Okay, and the gifts are normal sort of toys, silver spoons, the usual rattle type
or,
thing.
Garments and stuff like that, yeah.
And are there anything else that happens in childhood? Is there any, you know, when you go to secondary school or when you reach five or anything like that, is there any other traditions that happen, or it's your childhood is pretty normal?
I think it's pretty normal. We have, you know, in English they have the tooth fairy.
Yes.
For us it's not a fairy, it's a mouse.
Oh.
Yeah. The little mouse comes. So you're supposed, when you're a child and you lose a tooth, you're supposed to put your tooth under your pillow.
Okay.
And at night, the mouse comes, during the night, of course.
Uh-huh.
And then, so the next morning, you have like, when I was young, it was a 5-franc coin.
Oh.
So this is probably the first money you make, is the little tooth mouse brings it to you.
And children aren't scared of a mouse coming into their bed?
No, they're not. No, I don't. No, I don't think so. It's just...
Can explain quite a lot. So mice are quite, you know, happy to run around the house.
Okay? Yeah, that's it.
And obviously the French are absolutely known for their food. So is there specific cakes that you would have at birthdays or at christenings, or is that... It's just depending on what your family's favourite cake is.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything specific. Mm-hmm. The only very specific cake that you have is at Christmas. It's called La Bûche.
Ah.
It's a log.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the shape of a log. Uh-huh. And so that's very typical of Christmas.
Okay.
But the rest is pretty much, yeah, what you like. You know, you've got like a zillion cakes, so you've got the choice.
Yes, no, it's a bit of a country to be spoiled in. So for Christmas, you said you have this bûche, so it's like a log.
Yes.
Do you have turkey, duck?
Yes. Well, it's changing a lot, of course, because, you know, people are kind of fed up with the same kind of food. But yeah, usually it used to be, it can be duck sometimes, I know, big turkey.
Uh-huh.
Big turkey is definitely...
And that's on the 25th of December, or you do that on the 24th or another day?
I think it's slightly more sophisticated on the eve of Christmas. So on the 24th, you tend to eat more delicate things. And then on the actual day of Christmas, then you have this big... Probably because you would have more family members on the 25th. So you need a big animal. You need something that's very stuffing. But now it's really changed a lot. So, you know, you've got much more diversity, and people tend to cook whatever they want.
So on Christmas Eve, you said you have a light meal. Would you go to...
Light? I wouldn't go as far as light.
Lighter meal. So, and are there any specifics there, or it's just, again, all the favorites.
Well, what's very typical of France, but people are going to yell when they hear that, is the foie gras. So, you know, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I love foie gras.
Yeah. But some people think it's not very nice to the animals, which I must say they're right, but, you know.
There's lots of things in everyone's
culture, and it's very interesting because, you know, if you, because the French can be concerned about animal cruelty, of course, but if you tend to take them away their foie gras, then I think there would be a second revolution.
Okay. I don't think we need one of those in the world right now either. Enough going on. So at Christmas, do you have presents and cards and the usual?
Yeah,
the usual Christmas thing that the British and Maltese do.
Yeah. So normally either you wait until midnight on the eve of Christmas, or if the children are too young, then you open the presents the next day.
Okay.
That's it. So, you know, we all have those souvenirs of waking up in the morning and like magic, all these fantastic presents.
You know? Do you have Santa Claus then? You have the red Santa that we're used to.
Yeah, we have Father Christmas actually, which is Papa Noel. And so that he brings the gift, except actually in the east of France, where they still have the tradition of Saint Nicholas on the 6th of December, because, you know, they're more on the German side.
Right.
And so they still have that. So you wouldn't have anything at Christmas, but you would have all the presents on the 6th of December.
That might be a bit of an anticlimax for the rest of the kids when...
Well, over there, you know, in the east of France, everybody, it's like that. And plus, if you want it to be a real religious feast, then there's no reason that you get presents.
Anyway,
you're happy with the birth of Christ, and that's it.
We like presents.
No, yeah,
we like presents.
Yeah, that's it. I know.
And so after Christmas, then we have Easter. Do you celebrate Easter as well, in general?
Yeah. You know, France is still a pretty... It's not super Catholic, but it still has a very strong Catholic roots, and so we do celebrate all the religious feasts for sure.
And is there a lot of chocolate?
There's a lot of chocolate, and so and you go to chocolate hunt in the garden or in the house, I suppose. I used to go to my grandparents when I was a little kid, so it would be in a house. And it's the bells from Rome that bring the chocolate, and not the bunny, like I think in the US or in English-speaking countries.
So the bells from Rome.
So the bells come from Rome. You can hear them, actually, because at noon all the churches ring their bells, and then that's the sign that you can go out and look for the chocolate in the garden. Isn't that convenient?
That's very sweet. Well, otherwise, you know, you'd have mice and bunnies running around your houses.
Yeah, that's right. See?
You're probably cooking the bunny like us, actually. No?
We are.
Yes. Absolutely. So that's a couple of the religious ones out of the way. Just in general, on a social level.
Yes.
Obviously, again, just stick with food, our favourite subject. If you were to invite someone to your home for dinner, an 8 o'clock dinner, for example, what time would you expect your guests to actually arrive?
It depends on the region, but if you're from a big city like Paris, for example, you would expect them to be at least 15 minutes late.
Okay.
So between 15 minutes and 30 minutes late. Okay. After, it's impolite. Mm-hmm. Before, it's impolite. Okay. So if you show up on time, it's of course, we're not going to kick you away, but it's very likely that the host will still be dressing up
for
the evening, or still under the shower or something.
Yes, I've got mine down to a fine tea. Exactly, you know, the last thing goes on, I run up, have my shower, get dressed, come back down, as if by magic everything has just prepared itself.
Yeah.
And do people bring gifts to your home if you're coming for dinner?
Not really. It's the most common thing now is to show up with a bottle of something, because it's considered as a little rude to show up with nothing. But so if it's extremely formal, very formal, you're supposed to have flowers sent beforehand.
Okay.
So that the hostess wouldn't have to worry about putting them away. So you send them around 6 o'clock. You have sent them around 6 o'clock, and then you show up for dinner empty-handed. But that's fine, because you already sent the flowers.
Ah,
but that's you know, that's very
that's
rare.
Very formal. Yeah, that's
yeah very formal,
house.
Exactly. Yeah,
sort of. And so you'd bring a bottle of something. Would the hosts be expected to open that and serve that, or is that something for their...
It's a very interesting question. Not always, because, you know, people who are very into wine, they often have everything prepared, so they know we've got kind of mead they're going to have, for example, mm-hmm. and they want the exact wine to go with it. But, yeah, I would tend to... Or, you know, if you bring a bottle of champagne, for example, mm-hmm. then, yes, you're supposed to open it because so. You serve it for aperitif or something.
Excellent. I shall bring champagne.
Yeah, that's it. At least you're sure to get your champagne.
Are there any things, apart from drinking all of my own champagne, that would be considered rude at a dinner party? Are there, I don't know, eating before the host, getting up, whatever? What sort of things does one not do? You can tell the foreigners at the table because they do the something...
Well, eating, starting before the hostess has started is mm-hmm. definitely, but that's in every country, I think. Yeah, you're supposed to wait mm-hmm. for the hostess to start. So there's a difference between the Brits and the French. I think it's the way, it's where
just
you put
one.
Your hand. No, many more differences. It's where, at the table, mm-hmm. where you put your hand.
Okay.
You're supposed to put your hands always on the table. Even, you know, like, for example, let's say you have soup, for example.
Uh-huh.
So you're supposed to have your hand on the table, whereas the Brits, I think, tend to put it on their knees or something like that. That's what I learned when I was young. It's like, that was a big difference in table manners.
So
and
so. Why do you have your hands on the table, just so that we know you're not...
It's probably...
touching the next neighbor's knee, or just because?
No, I think it's probably... It probably has much older roots, and that's before you could have like a knife or something, and you could kill someone. Probably.
Kill know. Them for their soup.
You know, have a look at, I don't know if you ever watched Game of Thrones, but, you know, things like that can happen.
I should watch it, actually. Mm. I always tell people about Malta, this is where Game of Thrones was filmed, but I've never actually seen Game of Thrones, so I should probably have a look. And going to someone's house for dinner, is there any sort of dress code? Is it, you know, if I turn up in jeans?
Yeah, you can, but that's, you know, it really depends on, first of all, it's a class thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's, very much depends on the occasion. Of course, if you're going to a very casual dinner, you're not going to dress up. If you're going to something very formal, you are going to dress mm-hmm. up. The general trend is not to dress up much anymore.
Okay.
On the contrary, if you show up a little overdressed, it could be like, you know, it could be a bit naff in a way. So it's like you're trying to show that you've got manners, but in fact you don't, because you dress like it's a Sunday or something, you know.
So what would one wear on a Sunday, you're saying? Is it for a woman, is that...
The Sunday, you know, the Sunday thing, I don't know if you have the same in England or in Western countries in general, but the Sunday, getting dressed for Sunday was a typical peasant thing.
Okay.
Because during the week, of course, you would be, be working in the field, so definitely, but on Sunday... Mm-hmm. You wouldn't work, and you would dress very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's always, you know, dressing like a Sunday is associated with that, which is very stupid, because now the people who work in the fields in France is about 3% of the population maximum. So, it's a long time gone.
not worried about really what they're going to turn up
no,
in. It's not going
right.
to be too offensive. So does that dress code then translate to christenings, weddings, that sort of thing? Or at a wedding, what would one wear?
Yes.
Not as the bride or the groom, as a guest.
Again, it's a class thing, so it very much depends on which social class you belong to.
So it's still very classist.
Oh, yes, very, very classist. Mm. Despite, you know, what the French claim to be very equalitarian and stuff, they're not at all. And so the upper class will always dress, you know, to a wedding. First of all, you would have a... I don't know what you call that in English, but you know, this, the tall hats.
Top hat.
Uh-huh. If you're the groom and mm-hmm. if you're the best man and stuff like that, you will wear that. The parents also would wear that. But then the rest of the guests would really dress up properly.
Okay. Also wearing a hat?
No.
Not a top hat necessarily,
just any sort of
hat or headwear?
Wearing hats is very English, but it's not very French.
Manon? What a shame.
No, it's true. It's much more English than French. Yeah. You know, if you go to the race, I suppose, but that's very... It's not a French thing to do.
And in terms of colours and dress lengths and things like that, would one wear black to a wedding? Or?
Well, for men, it's mostly black, you know, because men are not supposed to dress in anything but black. Women have more room. Mm-hmm. It has to be tasteful. That's the thing. So that's... And there's no right or wrong, you know, it's whether it's tasteful or not. It's so.
It's like, I hate it when I see a woman at a wedding wearing white that's not the bride.
Oh, yeah.
It really drives me nuts. I just think it's...
It's not your day, is it?
Yes, exactly. You know, you're trying to upstage. You're never going to upstage the bride. But no, and I also know, I think in Sweden, you mustn't wear red to a wedding, for example.
Okay.
So I didn't know if there were any other colours.
I don't know of any... forbidden color, to be honest, but maybe there is, and I would not be aware of it. But I never heard of that.
But just tasteful as well. So are they day weddings or evening weddings in France?
Well, depending on the situation, but often you have it's called a vin d'honneur, so it's a sort of drink where you invite absolutely everyone.
Okay.
Including, you know, very often the people in the village, for example, you know, people are not very necessarily close to, but you have to do something for them. And then in the evening, it's only if you received an invitation that you were supposed to go to this the dinner party, basically, and that's it.
And the ceremony itself would be before the...
The actual wedding is during the afternoon, generally. So it's town hall first, because that's compulsory, then church, because you cannot get married in church before you're married.
Okay.
Yourself. It can also be, you can get married often, no, not often, but sometimes you get married on the eve very discreetly, you know, like in the town hall, and you do the big ceremony in the church the next day.
So normally you would do this both on the same day, so you
would
do your
town
hall
wedding. If it's possible, you do that
to the
same day.
Then the drinks... And then the party.
Yeah, but it all depends on where you do it, because sometimes, you know, like in Paris, for example, it's not always easy because you got a lot of weddings, so they have to have your slot and stuff. So it's not
like a conveyor belt wedding.
That's it, exactly. So it's not very easy. If you do that at the country, it's much easier.
Uh-huh. And so your guests at the wedding, again, gifts, are they something that are brought physically with them, or?
No, not anymore at all. It's always, from my experience anyway, it's always on the list.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't bring gifts anymore.
No carrying
anymore. No. I don't think I've ever been to a wedding where people would actually bring physical gifts. No, I don't think so.
And so it's all done in advance on a gift
list?
Yeah,
on a list, yes, exactly. Okay. You were supposed to ask discreetly, and where is your list?
I had a friend who got married a couple of years ago, and she had her list a wine merchant, which I thought was the best thing ever. You just sort of bought them a case of wine.
It's not a bad idea, actually, especially because nowadays you get married much later.
Yes.
So you already moved in with
you have
the guy or the woman, so you know, like, okay, so you don't need your silverware anymore.
Yeah. What happens at the actual party? It's a sit-down dinner, you said?
Yes, it's a sit-down dinner. Yeah, it's always a sit-down dinner. And then we don't have this tradition of this, you know, in England you have the table with the newlyweds and the parents and
the
best man and stuff,
and
you can see them from everywhere.
Uh-huh.
We don't have that. So there's a table, but it's in the middle of the room, and that's it.
Is there dancing and bands?
There is dancing very often, not necessarily. Again, it's a class thing. So the higher you are in the social ladder, the less dance you do. But it's nowadays, it's like, I'd say 90% of the time it's dancing. Yeah. 99%. 95%, let's say.
And so this lasts for the whole day, normally at the weekend?
Yes, on a Saturday evening. You know, the most common thing is that it starts around 4 o'clock. The ceremony starts, you know, takes place around 4 o'clock. And then you have this vin d'honneur, and then you have the soirée, the evening. That's it.
And it's for the celebration itself in the town hall or the church. That's your closest friends and family, or it's very small because you have these sort of disjointed ceremonies otherwise.
Yes. At churches, generally, you try to get as many people as possible because, in fact, it's very nice to have everybody around you.
Okay.
But a lot of people are like, ah, okay, I'll go to the party and I'll skip church. But, you know, it depends. If you're close to the people, you go to church. But, you know, you tend to judge the success of a wedding by the number of people that attend in the mass.
Okay.
You tend to do that.
But then all the funny things happen at the ceremony. The parties, kind of, nobody really remembers too much, but the ceremonies are when they make the mistakes with the name, when somebody trips over.
True.
So I think going to the ceremony is actually best.
I think it's fun and it's nice. It's nice for the newlyweds to be there. And
yeah.
You can take a couple of photos and stuff. I think it's nice.
I think so too. And so this wedding then lasts all the way through to the evening?
Yes, that's it. Around until 2 o'clock generally or something like that.
And do French couples have engagements and big engagement parties before this as well?
It's probably disappearing, mm-hmm. but it still exists for sure.
So, yes,
you have engagement parties where you have your closest family, very few friends. Mm-hmm. So it's generally a big lunch, for example, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's where the actual families meet for the first time.
Ooh,
you see,
okay.
So that's not the parents, because generally the parents have been introduced before, but you know, the extended family, like the uncles.
And would that be months before or weeks before, or it just depends?
Generally, before it used to be a year, at least mm-hmm. a year before getting married. Now everything's changing. So now I don't, and plus, you know, less and less people get married, let's face it. So there's more engagement parties just for that reason, because you don't get married.
I think we should be able to just have parties just because we're not getting married parties. We should start
starting divorce parties.
No, I've seen those. I've seen divorce cakes. They're like wedding cakes, but black.
Oh, that's
yes.
Nice.
And the groom has fallen down on the top of the cake. There we go. And are there any other ceremonies? Because I recall when I did my stage, there was, is it St. Catherine's Day?
Oh, yeah, St. Catherine's, yes, true. It's a, I don't know when it's St. Catherine's.
Is it October?
Maybe, I don't remember exactly.
Anyway,
so that's a weird, very weird tradition. I think the historical reason is because they used to make hats. I think it was the saint patron, of the hat makers, if it makes any sense.
Yes, no, it was hat.
And then because before, in the old days, not being married at the age of 25 was like, my God,
what's wrong with
it? Was like
you?
The worst sign of being a desperate spinster you could find. Now, it doesn't make any sense anymore. But so on the day of the St. Catherine, your female friends give mm-hmm. you a hat that is supposed to represent the hat of St. Catherine.
And it brings you luck to get married? I don't remember exactly.
I think it brings you more shame than luck, actually.
Because I remember there was my friend actually is called Catherine, and they had this party, and there were four of them, and they all invited a bunch of friends, and it was just a big hoolie.
Paris.
They were wearing these homemade hats, which
I don't think you. I don't even know if they do that anymore, to be honest. But maybe
this was probably 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe they still do it, or they just mention it just for fun. You know, you're going to coiffer Saint Catherine, we call it.
That's
like you're going to be 25 without a husband.
Maybe we should say 45 without a husband.
Yeah, that's
to make
it. No,
of
it
us
would be more.
Actually, she's probably 40. Yeah, still without. Yeah. And so am I, but there we go. I'll make her another hat. Are there any other sort of fun things like hen nights, stag nights?
Stag nights, yes, of course, yes. Nights and hen nights, yes.
And do you get silly and dress up?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I really hate that. It's really stupid and yeah, no. I took part in a couple and it's really
embarrassing.
Yeah, it's not very. It's not the best of the traditions, I think.
And what else? Because there's Bastille Day is obviously taken quite seriously in the middle of July, 14th of July.
Yes.
So what happens on Bastille Day?
Basically, you know, it's all about the fireworks.
Okay.
Because in France, we don't have as many fireworks as in Malta, which is not very difficult. And so you only have fireworks on Bastille Day. A big one, actually. That's the big advantage, is that, especially in Paris, you know, the fireworks in Paris. I don't like fireworks personally, but the one of Bastille Day on the 14th uh-huh. of July is absolutely fantastic.
Do they do it over the river, or?
They do it over the river on mm-hmm. the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, right.
So you can imagine, you know, it's really magical. Uh-huh. And then you have one on the 15th of August, which is for us and probably for many countries, the day of the Virgin,
yes,
the Virgin Mary.
Santa Maria. Huh?
And then you have one for the 1st of January, of course. And that's about it. The rest, I mean, you can have small ones, but it's not, you know, that's about it.
It's not part of the
No,
the
it's not, no, not exactly.
And so there's just fireworks in the evening, you take the day off?
Yes, it's a holiday. So you take the day off and that's it, and there's nothing. No, and oh no, yeah. That's something cute and mm-hmm. interesting. You have what we call the Bal des Pompiers, so firemen balls.
Okay.
On the 13th of April of July, so the eve of the Bastille Day, in all fire stations,
right?
They have what they call the Bal des Pompiers, so little uh-huh. balls, which are extremely popular, you can imagine, especially among women.
Uh-huh.
And so you're supposed to, you know, you make them a little donation. That's it. And it's always fun. It's
so all
fun.
The Catherines should really go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
They should do the Clash of Diaries
yeah,
there. So it's just a big party with
yeah,
firemen.
It's sweet. It's really, you know, you uh-huh. dance in the... In the fire station.
So this is the 13th of July.
Yeah,
I just want all single people to know
that's
this.
on the eve. On the evening.
And because the next day they know they're going to be working a lot because of all the fireworks.
That's very likely, actually, because on the Bastille Day, I'm sure they're very busy.
Yeah.
If not because of the fireworks, also because people do, you know, because you tend to, you know, people play with fire, with firecrackers and stuff. So just like here.
Yes.
And things can go wrong.
Yes. Are there any other sort of rituals or days or
so
anything?
Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
So Carnival is not very strong in France, mm-hmm. except in some places in the East, again, because in the East, because Carnival in Germany is pretty strong. So the eastern part of France uh-huh. has the same, you know, traditions. And then in Nice, in the south of France, mm-hmm. the Carnival is pretty big also.
Okay.
I don't know why over there it's still big.
And that's, again, the same time just before Easter.
It's in February, January,
mid-February,
And then in Paris, they've started to bring it back, actually. And I attended a few of them, uh-huh. and they're very nice, very nice. So it's a big parade and very, uh-huh. very nice. Very cold generally, but it's very nice.
Wow, there's all those people and all that food to enjoy.
Awesome.
So you've been listening to me, Monique Chambers, on the Good Manners Map with my guest this week, who's Eric from France. Thank you very much. Merci.
You're very welcome. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on the Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians Carmelo and Samuel. You can hear this programme on Mondays at 1:30 p.m., Thursdays at 9:30 a.m., and again on Fridays at 8 p.m. You can also download as a webcast from multiuniversitybroadcasting.com.